sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have come to set fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already blazing. The zeal which our Lord had in his life was as great as God, and that is because he is God. He is God, the Son, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He is God showing us the way. He is God telling us the truth. He is God giving us life everlasting. We can't do it alone. And he tells us today of how difficult it may be. A household of five will be divided, three against two. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. This sounds like rough stuff. Why would we want to have this kind of division in our families? But if we consider who was being talked to, who was hearing the Gospel of Luke at the beginning, people who were converting their hearts and minds to the Lord. And because Jesus had died on the cross, he was an obstacle for the Jews and a folly for the Gentiles. But those who believed, who heard something, who listened very carefully, who watched, who looked, who saw from afar, they heard the gifts of eternal life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Not everybody is going to believe that. Not everyone in our families is going to believe that. We might have children who don't come to Mass. We might have grandchildren that we bring to Mass because our children will not come. We might be lucky enough to have the whole family coming to Mass with us. But each of us in his or her own way has some difficulties with bringing people to the church. And some reasoning is that we can have everything that we want outside the church. I can walk along the edge of a lake and hear the water ever so lightly splashing along. I can walk through the forest and hear the whispering of God in the leaves in the fall. I can walk out in a light snow, not a heavy one, and feel the Creator's wrath, perhaps. But the only place that we can actually encounter God in a sustained form is in his holy house, this holy temple, this place where we gather to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and this place in which our Lord abides with us to the end of time in the blessed sacrament of the altar. We can try to do it on our own, without other people, without ever conversing. But does that really work? Our religion then becomes something that's just in our mind alone. There's never a corrective. It's me and God. And my God is who I conceive him to be. That doesn't really work, because we are who God conceives us to be, but God is not who we conceive him to be. We can never comprehend God. God is so infinitely greater than us that we cannot comprehend him. But we are called by Jesus Christ to travel along a road that may be full of hardships, a road that may be full of suffering. He's not calling us to anything that he didn't have. He ended up there on that cross. He ended up crucified, and he ended up crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus shows us this way, and we have other witnesses. The letter of Hebrews tells us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Fixed on Jesus. He is the way. The writer of the Hebrews goes on to say, for the sake of the joy that lay before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. What the writer is saying to us here is that even when we're suffering through things, we might be suffering through health problems, we might be suffering the loss of a child, we might be suffering widowhood, all sorts of things. We have to understand that someone else, someone who cares about us, has gone through this before. We don't need to be totally rattled by everything that happens to us in life. We can choose to do so, but where do we really get when we do that? We just get to wallow in pain, suffering. We wallow, 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 and we really don't get anywhere. So at the end it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. He's telling us that the ultimate is the shedding of blood. We're not all called to shed blood. We're not all called to be martyrs. But some of our fellow Catholics and fellow Christians throughout the world are being martyred this very day, this very hour, in parts of the world where they do not have freedom of religion, where they can practice their faith in peace. Jesus says, I'm not bringing peace on earth. I'm bringing fire. Well, in a certain way, he wants us to be ablaze with a fervor, a zeal about our faith that leads us to do things like Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet spoke to the people of Israel in this Old Testament reading. And what do the people say? He is demoralizing the soldiers who were left in the city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin. They lied about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was trying to convert their hearts against their paganism that had crept into the Jewish religion. By the time of Jeremiah, they weren't even monotheists any longer. They were worshiping all sorts of false gods. And we might think, oh, well, that's just, you know, superstition. They had their little gods and goddesses. But we have to be careful from day to day that we don't create our own gods in our own likeness. God tells us, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The temptation to have other gods is always before us. And those gods can be monetary things. They can be our house. They can be all sorts of things. Things that turn our hearts and minds away from the Lord, who calls us and tells us, I want to give you everlasting life. And that is why we are here today, because today, each time we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we receive a token of heaven, a real token of heaven, a taste of heaven, a foretaste of heaven in the holy sacrifice of the altar. When we present our souls and bodies along with the bread and the wine and place it up here on the altar, God transforms it and us into his body and blood. He does that so that his divinity may transform our humanity, so that when we go out of here, we go out of this holy temple, we are able to be Christ in the world, to be his hands, his feet, his love, his eyes, his compassion, his caring. So today, as we all come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass and we receive his body and blood, let us remember his words, "I come to set this world on fire so that we can go out, so that we can go out and do the good deeds that we're called to do each day, so that we can become more and more like Christ." And listen for his voice. "I know my children, and they follow me."